Next level protection for your canine patients is here. NexGard Plus, efoxolanir, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets is the one and done monthly protection that prevents canine heartworm disease, protects your canine patients from fleas and ticks, and treats and controls roundworms and hookworms, all in a delicious beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Next level protection, NexGard Plus.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. From patients to teams, veterinary skills that make great leaders. I want to know more about this. I'm sure you do as well. And joining us is our fantastic colleague, Dr. Jennifer Edwards in the house. How are you, Jen?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the show. I know we had to make some rearrangements, but the stars happened to align and here we are. That's the beauty behind VetMed, I'll tell you that. Okay, so a little bit of information about our wonderful colleague, Dr. Edwards. She is a mindset and leadership coach who helps professional women in organizations transform their relationship with leadership and life. Drawing from 13 years as CEO and owner of her veterinary practice, she now helps others break through limitations and achieve extraordinary results. As an ICF credentialed coach specializing in leadership and transitions, Jennifer develops conscious leaders and cohesive teams that transform challenges into opportunities and build thriving cultures through private coaching and workshops, business culture audits, retreats, speaking engagements. I'm just tired saying all these things. Jennifer combines proven leadership strategies with energy management techniques to help individuals and teams move from feeling stuck to leading with purpose and creating lives of deep fulfillment. Her expertise in conscious leadership and personal development has made her a sought-after speaker. We use her here at DVM 360, coach and business culture consultant who empowers people to master the mindset and energy needed for sustainable success and satisfaction. So this discussion, we're going to explore how the core skills developed in veterinary roles transfers naturally to leadership positions throughout the practice. And we're going to examine how veterinarians and technicians, CSRs, and other team members can leverage their existing clinical and client care abilities to become effective leaders, regardless of your position. So we're going to have a chat about and highlight practical ways to recognize and develop leadership potential with a focus on energy management and mindset shifts that create positive practice cultures. And before we get into it a little bit more, Dr. Edwards, you made the journey from veterinarian to practice owner to leadership coach. So share with the audience a little bit of some specific examples of a veterinary skill that unexpectedly became valuable in your leadership journey.
Well, there's a lot of them. I'd say the biggest veterinary skill for leadership is the curiosity that comes with being a diagnostic practitioner. So when we are practicing as a veterinarian, we enter every situation with curiosity. We don't know. So we ask questions, we do an exam, we might do laboratory work. So we want to basically assess and gather information. It's the exact same thing when you're leading a team. So the context, the situation obviously is different, but if a team itself or a specific member of a team is not performing well, or if results just aren't what you want them to be, it's the same thing. And when you can approach a situation with curiosity and openness to inquire and find out, versus coming in with an already established judgment and an already knowing, it's a complete game changer as a leader. So
I love that you're talking about staying curious. It's something that I actually talk to veterinary students and vet tech students about on their journey, is always stay curious, because I think that's what we do intuitively as veterinary professionals, right?
It is. And sometimes, though, I think that can be lost. Yeah. And people can... well, all of us, and I can't say that I've never done it too, is to start develop what I call an already knowing. The dog calls and it's got X, Y, and Z. Oh, it's a cruciate. It's a foreign body. And sometimes we can become a little bit tunnel visioned into this already knowing attitude, and sometimes it's efficient, but it's not always accurate. And when it comes to people, that can be even more dangerous. A dog limping, hind leg, I mean, come on, it went outside, it yelped, it came back limping. We most likely know what that is. When we take that already knowing perspective towards people, that can be really detrimental, because what happens is people are not going to fit into a box. They are not going to fit into a stereotype. And even if you've seen it 10 times before, what happens is people don't feel heard, they don't feel gotten, they don't feel noticed. And that can start to create morale problems. It can lead to disengagement. It can lead to a lack of respect for the leader. And that's probably the opposite of what we want to create.
When we're as veterinary team members, we're given these skills such as, reading animal body language, monitoring patients' vitals, and understanding like subtle changes, de-escalating emotional situations, and the ability to remain, I think, of like calm and methodical during so many crises that can happen in vet med. And now I think of it, so how can we use those types of skills, and how can they be transferred to, say, leadership, communication, and conflict management?
Doing exactly what you just described, but towards people. And as we said before, the key word always being curiosity and openness. And so when we are actually present, like actually paying attention, and we are there with people and noticing them and looking at them, listening to them, we can start to notice subtle shifts in behavior, subtle shifts in their energy. Even if somebody isn't necessarily familiar with the language around energy, that doesn't matter. We all experience energy every day. And when we really pay attention to people, we can notice suddenly they're not looking at us anymore, or suddenly they're not having their lunch in the break room with people. They're going out and sitting in their car, and that's unusual for them. And that can be key in not only noticing disengagement from the team, but more importantly, starting to notice things like burnout or mental health issues, depression, and even if it's not on that aspect, it's noticing just, are they not happy here? Is something bothering them? Are they not feeling the safety to speak up and speak their mind and contribute? And there's so many things that can be noticed, just like we notice a dog under anesthesia, that blood pressure starts to drop. You want to notice that right away, not when it's at the rock bottom. And so that early intervention that comes from the ability to cultivate awareness and curiosity can be key for teams and for patients.
Yeah, I like that you're talking about this energy, because listen, I mean, vet med, sometimes we come in, we're tired, we work long shifts, and I'm assuming you're talking about a different type of energy that comes across with leadership, because you coach clients on energy leadership. So can you explain a little bit about what a leadership energy check-in might look like for a medical director before, like, say, for example, like a difficult team meeting?
Yeah, so we most people know the terms, oh, I really like him, he's got great energy, or oh, she's got negative energy. And we use those terms somewhat loosely. And when we look at it, like when we use those terms, positive, negative, it's actually laden with judgment, right? So we're making a judgment on whether that person's energy is good, I like it, it's bad, I don't like it. So when we start to think about an energy check-in, we want to cultivate the ability to be a little bit more objective, dropping the judgment. Stopping the idea that certain energies are good and certain energies are bad. Now, certain might be more pleasant, and certain might be more might tend more to lead towards productive outcomes, but they're not necessarily that they're good or bad, because we all experience all energy. So when we're heading into a situation, whether it's a difficult team meeting or a client conversation, if we can pause for a moment and just take that moment of self-observation, what am I feeling right now? What am I thinking? What am I likely to do? How am I likely to engage in this conversation? And more importantly, what is my desired outcome from this scenario? Is who I'm showing up as right now likely to get me to that outcome? So if a leader, is at home and their family does something and upsets them and they show up at work and they're all pissed off and frustrated and, they're just, ah, oh, and every now everything at work, nothing's working. Why did it, right? And they're in this state. Being in that state, entering a conversation with a team member is probably not going to be the best conversation that they could have to have a desired outcome of a person feeling heard and gotten. So what can happen is a person can just stop in a moment, notice, okay, I'm really frustrated right now. I'm still pissed off at my spouse or my child. Okay, a few deep breaths, and just that moment of awareness alone can help them to let go of it. They can come back to it later. We don't want to just sweep it under the rug, but they can say, okay, I'm heading into this conversation with Sarah. I'm going to be present for Sarah. I'm going to be all I can be for her right now. I'm going to make sure I honor her and we honor this conversation and why we're here to have it. And then stand up, shoulders back, deep breath, and walk through the door with an intention of who you're going to be in that moment and what your outcomes are going to be. It's very powerful, and it actually doesn't take as much training as people might think to be able to cultivate the ability to do that.
I love that you're sharing that. That it reminded me, I had on the podcast a couple of years ago, Dr. Tracy Sand. She's a colleague of ours out in Pennsylvania, and she has this, I guess, I don't know what you call it, but she calls it a Red Dragon Day, basically. So if you have stuff going on at home, she has the employees will say, like, I'm having a Red Dragon Day. In other words, I'm coming to work, I'm going to show up, do my job. It's not about you. I got some stuff going on and I'll be okay. You can check in on me if you want, but it's almost as if setting that expectation, like the energy might be a little off on me today, but I'll still give my 110%. I just want you to know that I got some things going on. And I thought that was cool that you don't have to disclose what's going on at home, but you just let it know, like, listen, I'm a little off today. And sometimes how vet hospitals be like, oh, what's going on with Adam? What's his problem? What is it, something about that I did wrong or whatever? When you set that expectation, like, all right, he's got some things going on at home, so we'll check in on him, making sure he's okay. What are your thoughts on that? Because I think that was really powerful.
Yes, I love that because what you're doing is you're essentially providing the context for other people through which they should view you in that moment, right?
Yes.
So if I'm going to behave a certain way and I know I can't help it because I'm just in a mood, and I tell people that, they are now going to have a filter looking at me, knowing she, her dog is sick and she's really upset and worried. We're going to know that if she's not engaging with us fully, that's probably why. So that's super important. In order for that to be effective, however, people need to feel the safety and the openness in the space and the culture to even say that. I remember many times I would be just having a moment, a day where I was irritated. We all get like that. And I would tell my employees, hey guys, just so you know, I don't know why I'm kind of agitated today. Don't take it personally. And so they would then laugh at me. The other thing that was always big for me was, and I think this is so important in veterinary teams, is to allow people their humanity, right? So even if they don't verbally say it out loud, people might still be having that Red Dragon Day. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If somebody walks in and they're a little short in their hello, don't turn around and say to your colleague, what the hell's wrong with her today? And, start talking about her. Give people their space. We all have our moods. We all have our days. We all have our circumstances. And when we can allow people to just be without judgment and we bring kindness and compassion, most likely their bad mood is going to go away a lot quicker. And then they'll do the same for us. But those are critically important skills. And I love how she labeled it. It's like, here, I'm just having a Red Dragon Day, you can call it whatever you want. But so very,
Yeah,
very important.
I love that. And then we also talk about in vet med about leadership positions and qualities that make a good leader. And you and I know we've been in this field for a long time. Sometimes we'll see individuals be promoted just because they've been there for 5 years, or just because they've been there for 10 years, or maybe they have a potential relationship with someone. And I'm curious to get your perspective in terms of what specific behaviors or qualities should we be looking for when we're trying to identify leadership potential in our teams?
I agree with you that so often the best surgical tech or the person with the most seniority is put into that role. And while they may be good at that role, they also may not be, and they quite honestly, they may not even want it. The characteristics that I would recommend managers looking for are things like noticing, paying attention, kindness, being able to hold space for people. Supporting people, tolerance, taking responsibility and not blaming. Yes, it's helpful if they also know a bit about what they're leading. Like, say, they're going to be leading the surgical team. Probably is a good idea that they have some skill, but they don't actually have to be the best surgical tech. And when you put people into leadership positions that either don't want to be there or have no leadership skills whatsoever, what happens is that the people that they're leading, they can become resentful. They can, again, start to feel like they don't matter, like they're unheard. And then you end up with disengagement. And from disengagement, it's just a downward spiral. And that's not anything a practice manager wants. I would say, and the other thing for team members is just to remember from your perspective, you don't have to be the best surgical tech to want to be a leader. That you know, think about the imposter syndrome there, that, well, who am I, kind of shrinking back. You very well may be. If you're kind, you're compassionate, and you care, period, you can become a great leader. It's all learnable. You need to want it, and you need to care about people.
You really do. In your experience, have you noticed any of that happening? Like, have you seen someone successfully transfer their veterinary skills to leadership excellence?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Veterinary skills, veterinary technician skills, CSR skills, I mean, the various positions, you know, whether it's the skills of observation, the skills of communication, CSRs, you know, de-escalating a situation with a client can be the same thing as de-escalating a situation with a team member. A veterinarian doing diagnostics, coming at a dog with curiosity, they can come at their team with the same curiosity. If the desire is there, I think a lot of people don't realize that they are already leaders. They don't have to have a title and a role. They're leading their colleagues, they're leading their friends, they're leading their clients, their families, and they have so many skills that when brought to the forefront of their mind, when they become aware, oh yeah, I do that. I can do that. Oh yeah, you're right. I do have those skills. And knowing that that confidence comes over time, and there's leadership training, right? So, yes, there's stuff to learn, but it is learnable. So, yes, I've seen it happen, and I would love for people to just understand that they can be leaders if they want to be.
So I'm obsessed with Bath and Body Works, right? I got a story to share with you, right? I'm
Okay.
going somewhere with this, so just hold on.
Okay.
So I love Bath and Body Works. It was part of my mental health break that I would have from working at the practice. I would go down the road, you know, just up around, to the point where they knew me so well. They're like, "Oh, Adam's here." There was one girl named Jen. She always caught my attention with how well she was with delegating as a leader and listening to the customers. She always went out of her way to say hello to me. Just incredible. And I even said to the employees, I said, "Do you love her?" She's like, "She's the best boss we've ever had." And we got to talking, and she's like, "You know, I love your job. I wish I could be a veterinarian." I said, "Why not? You can." She's like, "I don't have any of those skills." I said, "The skills that I see in front of me right now, Jen, would make for a fantastic leader in veterinary medicine, but also a wonderful veterinarian." And she's like, "Ah, oh, I don't know." I said, "Well, what are you studying in school?" Because she was going to community college. And she's like, "I'm just studying bio in general, biology in general." And I said, "Spend a Saturday with me. Let's see if you like it, you know? Cut to, she got a job at another veterinary hospital as a CSR head receptionist, and she's
Oh.
graduating this year in vet school.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right? I share that with you and the listeners because, well, one, always leave those doors open. I like to be the Encanto for everybody. Everyone has a door to open. Sometimes we just need to share that gift with them to help open that door. But to see her as an effective leader, and she is just going to soar in this profession. Like, we're going to see her at conferences, speaking, all of those things. She'll be another Jennifer Edwards, you can tell. Like, that's got like those wonderful, you know what I mean? Like, incredibly beautifully soft skills woven in as a veterinarian. Like, her clients are going to love her. But I share that because everything you're describing, it just reminded me her as a great leader. And I was like, she can easily transfer that on over to vet med and look where we are.
Yes, that reminds me of a point kind of tied into what I was saying earlier. People, all of us, I would say, most of us anyway, we take for granted the things that we're good at. So it's nothing special, like say somebody is just a really great listener and they're very present and they naturally hold space and they don't use the words hold space, right? They just do it. But what they don't realize is that not everybody is doing that. They're like, what's the big deal? So, because I had an employee once who she just, those people who just see organization when it was time for lunch breaks. She would just be like, okay, so if this person goes at noon and then she's back by 12:30 and then this person goes and then they're going to overlap and then we'll have one person here from this time to over, watch the recovering dogs and then da, 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 and then these people will be back for start appointments. Done. It was like, whew, wow. And she would get so frustrated with her coworkers. She's like, I don't understand. Why is this chaos every day? Why can't they just? And I took her aside and I said, what you don't realize is you have a gift. There's nothing wrong with them. They're normal. They're just like, what do we do? Who's going to lunch when? You have a gift. Not everybody sees it the way you do. Like, this is special, and you should be proud of that ability. You just see it. It's just there for you, and you communicate it. And she was like, oh, really? Like, she was shocked. But that's the whole point of this topic today, is for people to realize that they, like, you all have gifts. You all have inherent leadership abilities. You may not ever want to be a leader, and that's okay, but it's there. It's there if you want to cultivate it. It's there if you want to bring it to the forefront. And I just hate when I see people hold themselves back and keep themselves small because of a false belief that, like, well, I'm just not the leader type. Like, I'm just not one of them. Well, you are one of them.
Yes, you are. And you bring up another interesting point too, because we talk a lot about gatekeeping in vet med about education. Like, for example, like this technician's amazing at placing jug catheters. I want to learn, but she's not teaching me how. But there's also gatekeeping and leadership that I see that happens at practices too, where you have these wonderful leaders like her, for instance, incredible with organizing and delegating. And you kind of want to like get into their head a little bit. Like, tell me your thought process behind that, because I want to learn. Some aren't open to that. They want to feel like they have I don't know what's the word, like validation or like job security, I guess is the word that is best for that. But you want to kind of like teach these skills to others and coach them up.
Yes, and to me, those people shouldn't be in leadership positions. Now, maybe they can be spoken to, taught, made aware of that. They may not even be aware they're doing it. The first thing I do is I give anybody the benefit of the doubt when they're being any way toxic, anything. Give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not aware. Make them aware in a supportive, kind, and compassionate manner. And if they're threatened, then what's happening in those situations is they're leading by fear. And fear will have one want to keep others small and hold other people down. A true leader is one who is cultivating leadership in others. A true leader is one. I remember I had a conversation with an employee years ago, and I just would not let go of what she was capable of. And she one time she got frustrated, and I said, I'm sorry, but I refuse to not see the greatness in you. And to me, that's Leaders see the greatness in other people and they want to bring that out. They want to cultivate it and bring people up. They're not threatened by it. And they wouldn't need to be, because if you are a great leader who's bringing other people up, you are such a great leader that they're never going to
Yes.
take your place.
I love that. I just wrote that down too, because that's like, that'd be a great talk right there too, leading by fear, you know, like how you should not be,
Yeah.
you know, that's a really good one. As we're wrapping up, I was just thinking too, when you're talking about cultivating, I would tell my team, like, you all have these seeds that you maybe never knew that you had in you. And as a leader, we provide the fertilizer,
Yes.
right? And we want you to grow and add the water and watch you flourish and nurture. Nothing gives me greater joy as a leader, like with what I'm doing currently, to give those skills and to see them grow, to be like, I had a small part in that that person's growth, but that's what we do. You know, that's what, you know what, call me crazy. That's what being a good person is, I think. You know, it's just
Yes.
simple.
Right. Yes. When we're good people, when we're kind, compassionate, all of those things, we find joy in the success and the thriving of other people. And I would just offer to somebody, like, if that's not present in you, just be honest with yourself. We don't need to judge. Just maybe come at that with curiosity. Like, what's there? There's a fear there somewhere, and that's okay too. We all have fears. But when you can start to try to uncover those fears, then you might find some freedom and to start letting that go, because there's much more joy in bringing other people around you up than there is in holding them back.
Absolutely. Standing O right there, Dr. Jennifer Edwards. Wonderful conversation, my friend. Thank you for being in this wonderful profession. Where can we learn more about you?
Well, I invite everybody to visit me at my website, which is drjenniferedwards.com, doctor with a DR. I'm also on LinkedIn and all the social platforms. Everywhere is at Dr. Jennifer Edwards. I have a YouTube channel. And if anybody's ever interested in working one-on-one or speaking anything, workshops, please feel free to reach out. They can schedule a connection call for free. Always, I'm happy to have a conversation.
Love it. Again, thank you for all the great work that you do. Yeah, thanks for being a guest on the show. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Hope you continue to be great leaders out there. And this will help grow even further with what we were giving you, some great tips. And please reach out to Dr. Edwards. She's a great resource and a wonderful friend. And now she'll be your friend too, now that you heard her. So
Thank you
thank
so
you for
much.
tuning. You're welcome. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.